Kush and Kai. Twice a month, the Kahuna Kids come together to talk movies. Kush and Kai. If it's fantastical, controversial, or just stupid fun, Kush and Kai talk about it in detail. Like and follow on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Kush and Kai. KushandKai.com, part of the Bosley.net.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to Kush and Kai. I'm Kai.
I'm Kush. What's good, y'all?
You know, it is a microdose, but sometimes there's different varieties of microdose.
Oh, my God. I think that must be one thing we must be talking about. Godzilla.
Yeah, that is correct.
Godzilla. Kai, where were you on 2014's Godzilla?
I thought it was a little, the pacing was a little weird, but ultimately, like, I didn't hate it. I was like, all right, yeah, they did us an okay solid here with a Godzilla movie. Where were you?
I enjoyed it. It was a one and done for me. Like, I saw it on the big screen opening night. I enjoyed the spectacle. I understood people's frustrations with what little Godzilla we had, but I also went like, no, this is the throwback to those original Godzillas. Like, we're just focused on this human drama. We're worried about nature's destructive force and all that. Like, Godzilla, yeah, he's the title guy, but no, I thought they used him appropriately. But I understood what people were saying. Cranston, very disappointed to see him go so quickly. Otherwise, I enjoyed the San Francisco backdrop, and I enjoyed Godzilla 2014, but it was a one and done for me. I haven't been back to it since.
San Francisco getting destroyed is always that. It's nice, but also terrifying, because it's like, why do all the CGI animators live here and they want to destroy everything? I feel you. Yeah. Here's how I would compare these two movies. I was not a fan of Godzilla King of the Monsters. I found it very slow and plodding, and they really didn't use. And even though they gave us a lot of monsters, there's a lot of monsters in this thing.
It's still slower than 2014's, right?
Still slower than 2014's. How I would objectively compare these two things, I feel like Godzilla 2014 was a ham and cheese Hot Pocket. Mm. Now, it's not amazing, but you're like, well, I guess I ate technically. So you're like, all right, it wasn't, you know. It's not going to poison you. I mean, you can eat a lot of them, but that's why we don't eat
that scene
water.
Where they're doing the gravity dive, you know, and they're trying to. I think the plan was to skydive on top of Godzilla, but then they miss him, and then they just keep going and keep going and keep going, and you're just like, oh my God.
2014 Godzilla is it's a ham and cheese Hot Pocket. It's not even middle of the road. It's sub that. Now, the Godzilla King of the Monsters, if you just described to me all the different monsters that are in it and then the stars, I'd be like, oh my God, that sounds amazing. But it is like, here's how I'll describe it. Mm-hmm. It is like your third favorite hot sandwich. For me, I'm going to go with the Reuben, right? Okay. It's a nice, toasty Reuben, but they've put a dollop of just sand into it. So when you ask, like, hey, do you want a Reuben sandwich or just a Hot Pocket? You're like, yeah, but does the Reuben have a bunch of sand in it? Yes, I guess I'll take the Hot Pocket.
This movie took 5 years to complete after 2014's Godzilla, and it feels just undeveloped. It feels
undercooked.
Thank you.
Yeah, and even in that sense, dude, did you feel like, when I was even just looking at it, it felt like the effects were not up to, like, the monsters didn't look great.
I gotta disagree. I loved all the visuals of the monsters. I loved all the visuals.
I saw it on the
IMAX, so that might have something to do with it.
They were like trapped in ice, or the set pieces and some of the battles, fine. But like, even Ghidorah was like, all right, you're doing it. And then wait, maybe this made a difference. But we opted to see the 3D version, which did nothing.
It would definitely make it darker. And yeah, I didn't leave there going, I would have liked to have seen that in 3D. And I didn't even, do you remember the last Mad Max movie, Fury Road?
Yes.
Great movie, right? And if you saw it in 3D, you'd be like, you know, I'm not mad I saw that, but if I didn't, that would have been great too. And if you hadn't seen it in 3D, there's still like scenes you're like, oh, they specifically did that for 3D, where like the gear shift literally like shoots out into the screen.
There was none of that. We got none of that.
There's nothing of that in Godzilla King of Monsters whatsoever, which makes you go just, well, why bother converting this to 3D?
It was not worth it. It was like you only saw like subtle depth changes. So what actually you got the most of was one of the big currencies of this movie is people sitting in some dark war room talking. And so you're like, ooh, look how much depth Ken Watanabe has behind him. Like that was the main, it's what it did mainly. And you're like, okay. This movie, the thing that it offers front and center is they just keep offering you insane premise after insane premise about why things are happening, why people are doing things. Mm-hmm. And then, yeah, the government is just not there to stand up to the monsters or to this mysterious organization. And then
where the last movie was trying to be grounded in reality, this one is just like, let's just make it a cartoon. Everything's a monster. Monsters everywhere.
They turned it to 11 because they're like, oh, there's 17, 18, maybe 20. We're not entirely sure. And here's the grand scheme. And this is the theme that all of the characters mention with, is that some people think we can live with the monsters roaming around. Other people think we can do that, but also most of the people should be wiped out. It's kind of one of those two, except for the one rational part of the U.S. government, which is, could we just kill them before they hatch? Wouldn't that be a good idea? No.
Yeah, Vera Farmiga's motives change a couple times.
Yes. We get a couple gear shifts in there, but she has probably favorite thing in this movie is when we find out, and they play it so poorly because they kind of half give it away. Because she swears her allegiance to the monsters. She's like, well, they're the answer. It's like an ISIS video where you're like, yes, I swear my allegiance. You're like, it's the craziest friggin' thing. But she really is into giving it over to the monsters. And she has the power, people. Like, she's starting to make it happen.
Now, the box that she develops at the beginning of the thing that they end up, like, waking up Ghidorah with, that they end up having to take to Shea Stadium or wherever Red Sox Stadium is, that thing is supposed to control the creature, right? Like, so they go like, we just want to bomb Pakistan right now or cleanse Pakistan, quote unquote.
I understood it was just supposed to, like, it's supposed to mimic. Okay, apparently all the monsters can talk to each other anywhere in the world with their alpha bio signal, whatever. Word. Like you can be on the other side of the planet, you start giving off some vibes, and then the king will come find you. Like that's how it works. This thing,
I'm totally down with that,
is meant to, and look, they did set this up. The orca, the little box, is meant to simulate that signaling system. Mm-hmm. And it can either, you can either like make the placate them or anger them or whatever. So that's just sort of like you can tip them off, and then no one's entirely sure how it works.
Well, the reason they figure out Ghidorah as an alien is because it doesn't work on him, right? But it did wake him up.
I can't see again. I don't know if it woke him up or the explosions did or what exactly was happening.
Yeah,
that was part of it. And then also, okay, they can't really. They have trouble putting, like, they move the mile markers a lot. They move the goalposts because at first they're like, hey, we don't know anything about Ghidorah. We call him Zero because we don't know anything. And then later, Ken Watanabe is like, no, the battle between Ghidorah and Gojira, that is ancient and legendary. You're like, well, what is it? Pick a side here. Do we know about it or do we not know about it? And I can't tell. And then the physics of this world change. Sometimes the orca, the little box, it can broadcast everywhere to every corner of the world, no problem. Other times they need to plug it into Fenway Park.
Yes.
Fine. They can't decide. Sometimes radiation, really bad. Other times when it was just bad, not so bad now. We can't pick. They can't pick. And then to make that even worse, the way they explain what's going on in this world is that and this is every other scene in the movie. It's people sitting in a war room, and then a breathy Chinese woman explains the intricate behaviors of literal monsters using only pictures she found on Wikipedia. That's that's how this movie works. It's just, oh no, well, it was thought that Mothra was this, but actually that. And you're like, and then they do it, and then they like send nukes in based on her wild conjecture. This is a terrifying, that is more terrifying than the monsters. Our ineffectual response to it, like this were our best, this was our best hope, it's more terrifying than the monsters. This is the best that they have. Okay, another couple things that kept happening.
Radiation real quickly here.
Yes.
Like, you're not the first person I've heard bring up that example before, but the only thing I can picture is when Ken Watanabe goes to find Godzilla and is literally standing, you know, face to eyeball with him.
That's the best example.
He already knew that he's gonna die. Like he knew this is, he's not coming back from this. So
very sweet moment. He gets to pet it on the nose.
And then he hits the button and the warhead blows up. So that never fazed me at all. I was like, well, he's literally gonna die in minutes if he just doesn't push this button. So
in the few weeks that this movie exists and then Godzilla's roaming around, like that had to be he's fighting monsters, but he's used to that. That bomb in his face must have been a surprise.
Much like a balloon popping in your face, yes.
Yeah, except it's several kilotons, megatons, and it's a problem. That was a pretty badass way to go. Ken Watanabe, let's set this up. They find, I believe it's sort of a stand-in for Atlantis?
It's at...
What is
it's this? It's a city that has been submerged underwater that has been missing for millennia.
Thousands
but they never ever have the balls to say, oh, it's Atlantis. Like, this is a Warner Brothers property, so this could have just been Atlantis.
Just say it, guys, because they threw King Kong in here.
This could have been the Warner Brothers tie-in with Aquaman.
That would have been great. And then they nuke it. It just is, it's down.
The city that has, again, been missing for millennia that they only kind of knew about, they are not excited that they're there. They are not like, this is fine.
This is amazing. You should be taking pictures and beaming stuff back. Yeah, doesn't matter.
We need to preserve this. So when this we're is, done with
it, they're in the house of Godzilla. That's where they are. That's what's happening. And then, I hate this nitpick. I really do. But they went down to the seafloor to this thing. They're like in the Marianas Trench with the submarine. Mm-hmm. Like that's how far down it is. They wake Godzilla up. Godzilla stands on the water. He stands on the water and picks up a thing there. He picks up the submarine standing on the... He's very obviously standing where they... It was just the simplest, like, just don't do that. It looks like he was standing on the shore somewhere, but he's, like, lifting stuff up. You didn't need it. It was unnecessary. Mm. Okay. Two things that I didn't need from this movie, but it's all they had. One was disabled vehicles. They're in a disabled car. They're in a disabled helicopter. They're in a disabled that's the only move that they had, which was, there's a screenwriter somewhere like, what's the most exciting thing we could do? They're helpless. They're trapped inside. Like, and he kept saying it, and somebody kept nodding, going like, that's not a bad idea. and then the other thing, which is key to the movie, which is different people keep explaining this basic sentence, which is, let the monsters restore the balance to the world. And I'm unclear what that means, and I'm pretty sure they don't know exactly what that means either, because they probably let the little breathy Asian chick describe it, and no one knows what she's talking about now.
Well, she dies at some point, too, so someone else has to pick up the flag for her.
Yeah, balance. They keep saying balance. And now, look, there's a very heavy tilt where some people think some people should die, and others think a lot of people should die. Those are the two viewpoints in this movie. They're kind of like that. That's who has stakes in the game here. The Monarch folks, who are the only ones that are in place to stop this terrorist group run by Tywin Lannister. That's the balance. So I'm pretty sure what they're talking about balance is population control. We need to wipe out some mofos because we're ruining this thing. That's the message of this movie.
Yeah. I'd agree with that.
Yeah. And oh boy. Yeah. There's an end credit sequence, which I can only describe, it's a montage, and I believe it's a pro-human Holocaust montage. They're like, look, after everything got wiped out, look how much better it gets. And you're like, okay. And again, this feels like the territory where this is what Vera was watching on YouTube before she made this decision. There's an anti-person cult out there that she took one for. She jumped right in. Yeah.
Where do they go from here? So they keep talking about King Kong, King Kong, King Kong. And leading into this movie in its pre-production, we kept hearing about, oh, we're definitely doing a King Kong versus Godzilla. Before you get into this, Ghidorah is a three-headed alien lizard dragon that breathes fire.
Or electricity beams. It can fly.
It can do lots of things.
It can regrow heads.
But fucking monkey.
Okay. Yeah.
Why wasn't this King Kong versus Godzilla and then lead into Ghidorah?
Yeah, build up to it, guys. Like, Ghidorah is, you know, crazy space alien dragon and monkey. Now,
pro wrestling logic would dictate that they will meet in the third one. They will fight, but then if they're not stalemated, something will interrupt them, and then there'll be a bigger threat that the two of them have to team up and face.
Right.
What would this be? Would this be a Mecha Godzilla?
Wasn't there a Mecha Ghidorah as well?
There was a Mecha Ghidorah at some point.
Yeah. I feel like Mecha Godzilla is the way to go. But you know who's going to have to build it? Monarch, because they have all of the money in the universe. Okay. I need to bring this up for a second. Monarch as an organization makes no sense. It somehow makes less sense than what Cobra was in G.I. Joe and seemingly has more money. Hell, Monarch from the Venture Brothers seemed to make more sense than this. Mm-hmm. Okay, they started as a secret research organization, but they've got... All right, I won't go into the... Yeah,
they have full-on meetings with Congress now.
Hundreds of budget. Okay, that was another annoying part where they're like, well, you got to let the military take over because, like, we got to know what you're doing. But then the military works for them? That I didn't get that at all. Mm-hmm. Okay, just this one base that they have somewhere in, like, the Caribbean or what have you. It's the main headquarters to track Godzilla. And it looks like an oil rig, but you fly down this tube and there's a gigantic underground base. Like, it's like half the size of the Death Star. This thing, it looks like it costs more money than Winter Soldier when they had the secret base under the Potomac and those two robot hovercraft. Like, it looked more expensive than that. Mm-hmm. That works project alone. And they have dozens of these bases. Mm-hmm. Where are they there's not enough time and money and what, and they're staffed with like thousands of people. It doesn't make any sense, especially because how adversarial the government is with them. Mm-hmm. That point was just like, we just kind of just go with it. It's a Godzilla movie. Yeah. But that was the craziest part. Just fold it into the government or something. That would have felt better.
They
but
take no, a it's, lot of liberties in this movie. There was another line since you brought up underground tubes where apparently Godzilla is moving in between wormholes within the Earth's crust. And
I didn't even want to mention that because that just made me annoyed. Oh boy.
the Mark Maron type, which I don't know why they just didn't get Mark Maron for this, but he's just like, I have a theory that Godzilla is traveling through a channel of underground tunnels that's how he's able to get from one side of the world to the other in no time. That was
Bradley Whitford. And then, you know, you could have just thrown us like, because you literally CGI'd everything else. Just show us a quick sub going into a tunnel and then popping back out. Instead of him positing it and being like, that's how it happened. It was like, you've never confirmed any of your crazy things. No one confirms their theories. They just sort of go and do things. Wait, one last note here. I want to say something mildly positive about this because I would rate King of the Monsters, I'd give it a 3.5.
Okay.
And I'll tell you why. You get one star for a whole mess of monsters. You get another star for, you've got all my friends. There is a ton of folks in this movie that I really like. And then, yeah, you've got a modicum of spectacle in there. But let me say this. This movie can be fun if you play the cinematic universe game, the CCU. Because it's that Tywin Lannister is out to destroy humanity by unleashing the monsters. It's up to Stranger Things' 11 and Friday Night Lights coach to team up with King of Siam's secret organization to stop it.
There you go.
That's where it is. All right, well, check us out online. Thanks for joining us again. Kush, rock the fuck on.
Rock the fuck on, Kai.
Kush and Kai. Twice a month, the Kahuna Kids come together to talk movies. Kush and Kai. If it's fantastical, controversial, or just stupid fun, Kush and Kai talk about it in detail. Subscribe and review on all major podcast platforms, including Apple Podcasts, iTunes, Spotify, and Stitcher. KushandKai.com, part of the Bosley.net.
Hi, this is Jenny Powell, and my new podcast, Brazen Conscious and Contagious, is now available on the Bosley.net. When I was asked to do this podcast, it was important for me to be able to reach people on a very basic human level, which for me means I'm doing this work too. So anything to do with change, anything that has to do with inviting wellness into our lives, I wanted it to be available in a way that others knew that they weren't alone in this process. That just because what makes us teachers in this life doesn't mean that we arrived well and ready to teach. We actually had our own unique process in going through these steps in life. So it is my honor and my privilege to not only share the things that I have learned and discovered within myself, but also have had the privilege to have this information passed down to me and readily available to share with the rest of the world. So I thank you so much for listening. And to catch my new episodes every other Monday, they're available on major podcasts and are found including on iTunes, Stitcher, and Spotify. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to connect with you on Brazen Conscious and Contagious exclusively through thebosley.net.
Thebosley.net.
Sit, Bosley, sit.
Ooh, look how much depth Ken Watanabe has behind him. Like, that was the main